This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, everybody, it's Natalie Bensavanga. Thank you so much for being in conversation with me today. I am coming to you live from the David L. Lawrence Convention Center here at the Home and Garden Show. This is always such a fun weekend, a couple of weekends, and I know people really, really enjoy walking around and seeing all the vendors. I always like looking at all the saunas, so I don't know what your favorite thing is, but I hope whatever you're getting a chance to do down here, you're enjoying it. And if you're not here, come on down. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's interesting because it has been almost 5 years to the day since COVID-19 changed the world here in the United States. But I don't know if people are aware that this is still happening. It's still causing debilitating disease. It's still having long-term widespread economic and public health impacts. It remains elusive, even infecting those who are vaccinated. According to Scientific America, it's been a pretty difficult 5 years for everyone, for the whole world. This is from a woman who is a technical lead for the COVID response at the World Health Organization. She said, "I think the whole world wants to forget that it happened and move on, which is completely understandable because we've gone through something that has been tremendously difficult." She added, "I think we need to make it very clear that COVID is not gone." So why do we keep acting as though it is? Experts expect it to continue being a significant and persistent threat to public health. The risk of developing long COVID has not gone away. And for some people, the condition can last for years. I know some people with long COVID, and it has changed their lives. It is not the flu. It is not a cold. It does long-lasting harm to every single organ system in our body, and yet people are just shrugging it off. But who can blame them? Because there's been very little effective public communication from both our governments, from companies, from the society. So here how to discuss how we can protect ourselves and our communities better is our friend Beck from Mask Up Pittsburgh. Beck, thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, Natalie. Thank you so much for having me.
And oh, my goodness.
Thank you for using your platform to talk about this.
You know, somebody has to, right? Might as well be us.
Might as well.
Do you remember 5 years ago when COVID first hit? What was that experience like for you?
I do. I remember it very vividly. As a lot of people may remember, COVID was first reported in December of 2019. Mm-hmm. And that's actually when I started tracking it, and I have not stopped since. Mm-hmm. When I was about 12 years old, I actually developed a pretty huge interest in plagues throughout history, what their long-term health effects were, and how society reacted to them. So I was pretty
like
attuned
any 12-year-old,
to the
you know?
Potential. Yeah, so I was pretty attuned to the potential impact that this virus would have on our collective health and the world as we knew it. Mm-hmm. And I was honestly, and still am, pretty terrified of this virus because I have many immune-compromised family members and friends, and having studied history and science and understanding the link that exists between pandemics and the rise of eugenics and fascism, made me very scared.
I'm really glad you brought that link up. Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that link up because I was also, I think both of us have probably read a little bit of the history around pandemics. And the last time we had a pandemic around this level was the Spanish flu of 1918. And that led to the rise of fascism and, of course, eugenics and the Nazis only 15 years later. And I think that there isn't this collective understanding of the historical context and intersecting narrative. When you started recognizing the impact that it was having in your community and with your friends and family, how did that make you feel knowing that our society as a whole was just trying to bury it?
It broke my heart, mm-hmm. honestly. I remember the night before, you know, I feel like everyone remembers March 13th as mm-hmm. the day when mm-hmm. things really changed. That night, I actually went to a concert with mm-hmm. one of my best friends to see one of our favorite bands. And driving home from that concert, I just knew I had this sinking feeling that everything was going to be changed, that nothing was going to be the same, and that there was going to be a lot of very harmful, heartbreaking effects of this for mm-hmm. everyone, whether they want to admit it or not. And being really scared of what would happen to me, what would happen mm-hmm. to people I love, what would happen to my neighbors, people I will never meet, everybody.
Yeah, and I feel that completely back. It was actually really comforting. I remember a couple of years ago, I think, was when we first just met randomly. I walked into a coffee yeah. shop in the city that you were working at, and you were masked, and I was masked. And at that point, I would say less of us were masking than more of us. Not as bad as it is now, but at that point, I do think it was starting to change. And I remember we just both kind of like locked eyes, almost like we see each
yeah.
other. And the fact that now, you know, a year and a half later, you're on the radio with me talking about this, I think is a very powerful reminder that being seen in our full humanity very much matters. And the reality that COVID has stripped that humanity from so many communities is really heartbreaking. And I'm going to get into a lot of the more technical aspects of, you know, Medicaid cuts with disability justice advocate Libby Powers later in the show. But from your perspective, when we're talking about masking and mitigating risk, why is it important that we can still wear masks in public? And does it concern you that there's a lot of legislation that is trying to basically get people to not be allowed to wear face coverings, and how that really has tied into the student protests around the Free Palestine movement?
Yeah, it absolutely does worry me that mm-hmm. there is legislation that is being brought forward to prevent people from wearing masks. Mm-hmm. For me, I have to. Mm-hmm. This is not a choice for me. I mm-hmm. have to wear a mask every single time I leave the house because mm-hmm. of my health status. Mm-hmm. I am immune compromised. I identify as being disabled, partially thanks to having long COVID. Mm-hmm. And it's scary that potentially, you know, people that have differing social or political mm-hmm. ideology are going to try to put me in even more danger just mm-hmm. because they don't want people at protests to be able to mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this mm-hmm. harkens back to what you were saying earlier about the rise of eugenics and the rise of fascism, because all of these things intertwine, and the right to be able to mask in public is part of that pushback on freedom of expression and the freedom to be in public spaces, you know. And I think that this also has to deal with the invisibility of the disabled communities of our city and how people want
Absolutely.
Them to basically be hidden from view.
Absolutely. That's something that we've seen in the past too, with like the ugly laws and mm-hmm. like you mentioned before, with World War II, the mm-hmm. some of the first people that were like sought after by the horrible Nazis were disabled people.
Yeah.
They, you know, society at large hates us. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. don't want to have us in public. They don't want to have to go through the actions that need to be done to keep us safe. And, mm-hmm. you know, on one hand, I get it. It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Masking is a lot of work. Taking mm-hmm. airborne illness precautions, factoring in what people that have differing needs than you, it can be a lot of work and it's exhausting, but it's also very necessary. Like, just because I am immune compromised, just because I'm disabled, does not mean that my life is worth less than yours.
And amen.
I and other people absolutely deserve to exist in public, and we deserve to be safe in public. And everyone that is of grown age and able mind and body and capability, we all have a responsibility to build and ensure a safe world that everyone can access.
Absolutely. Beck, can you please stick around for one more segment? Because after the break, I want to discuss what you just shared a little bit about, this idea of invisibility and them not wanting you to really exist, and how that really factors into late-stage capitalism and how all of this intersects with disability rights. We can prevent the spread of airborne diseases like COVID and the flu with smart mitigations that we all have access to. More with Beck after the break. I'm Natalie Bensavenga. You're listening to 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. Hey, everybody. It's Natalie Bensavenga, and I am here live today doing my show in conversation at the Home and Garden Show down at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. And I have to say, it is a gorgeous day. We're kind of elevated up on the second level. You can see the bridges and the whole skyline of the city. It's just beautiful here. Before the break, I was talking to Beck from Mask Up Pittsburgh about how we can protect ourselves against COVID and other airborne illnesses. According to Scientific America, millions of people had or are currently suffering from long COVID. This is a catch-all phrase describing post-viral symptoms that range from mild to debilitating. And scientists have begun to study the causes of long COVID, but of course, evidence has suggested that while vaccines reduce the risk, treatments remain elusive. And with the worst of COVID seemingly in the rearview mirror, however, we are finally able to sort of take stock about what has happened and try to make sense of the United States' response, or what I would say lack of response. So here joining me now is Beck from Mask Up Pittsburgh. Beck, thanks so much for sticking around for a second segment.
Yeah, thank you.
So I know personally, Beck, and I, you know, I welcome how you feel about this, but I've been just disgusted and disappointed by the government's reaction really since the onset of this pandemic to mitigations. I mean, I believe we should have been getting free tests, free N95 or KN95 masks every month sent to us. We should have had easy access to vaccines, which of course we know have saved millions and millions and millions of lives all over the world. Why do you think there has been so much resistance to just taking measures to protect? Why are we not doing more, especially to clean our indoor air?
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
There are so many reasons for that that I could talk about for the rest of my life, and I probably will.
Well, we only got a few minutes.
Let's start with the personal level, right? So the pandemic, of course, it's scary.
Yeah.
It seemingly, you know, for a lot of people happened very suddenly with mm-hmm. all the lockdowns and mask mandates in some places, mm-hmm. suddenly having to line up to get into the grocery store, having yeah. canceled concerts and sports games and closed dining rooms and the kids all sent home, like all of the supply chain issues. That's all scary. Mm-hmm. And I get that. And being in a scary situation, especially with a government that, like you said, I agree with your phrasing of a lack of mm-hmm. response that mm-hmm. has really led us to where we are in terms of people not really caring, not really paying attention, trying to move on and forget. So there's a lot of reasons for it. I think a big one is just that it's scary and that being in denial is yeah. often more comfortable than mm-hmm. acknowledging reality, because yeah. acknowledging reality, then the next step is taking action.
Yes.
And that is hard for a lot of people. It's also really hard to admit when we've been wrong, just
yeah.
as humans. Everyone, I'm sure, has experienced this. It's really hard to admit when you're wrong, and it's mm-hmm. hard to admit that you've been lied to. So,
bingo. There it is.
On a societal level, mm-hmm. From the government, from our public health agencies, like entities mm-hmm. that we are supposed to be able to trust, mm-hmm. they have been lying to us mm-hmm. pretty much the whole time mm-hmm. about how severe this illness is and how widespread the impact is. Like, it's been minimized that so that so many people think that it only affects, you know, disabled people or immune-compromised people or those quote-unquote vulnerable people, when mm-hmm. it actually affects all of us, every single yeah. one of us, whether you want to admit it or not.
And I couldn't agree more, and I'm really glad that you brought all of that up, because a lot of this has become about silencing and about censoring, but only, of course, certain types yeah. of speech, only, of course, for certain types of people. So that's why I was really proud that Pittsburgh was stepping up, as we often do, and started Mask Up Pittsburgh. Can you talk about this organization and your involvement with it?
Yeah, so the Mask Up Pittsburgh is what's called a mask block. There are a bunch of them all around the world. Mm-hmm. Mask Up Pittsburgh is a disabled-led organization that focuses on COVID safety and mm-hmm. spreading awareness, and specifically spreading awareness around the importance of masking mm-hmm. as a tool of self and community preservation, as a tool of protection against airborne illness, and increasingly as protection against, you know, like we've been talking about a little bit, the surveillance, fascism, right. Protecting your identity and your safety when you may be out on the street protesting. Mm-hmm.
And I think all of those things, to your point, are just so important to keep in mind when we're thinking about this idea of community care. Because what concerns me is we've got avian bird flu, which is mutating. It's jumping species. We're seeing it now in Pennsylvania. We're seeing measles outbreaks. We're seeing all of these diseases that are worsening. And our public response is kind of a big eye roll. So why is it that masking can be a good tool to use for protection for multiple types of diseases? Why do you continue recommending it?
Well, we have a mountain of scientific studies and evidence that prove mm-hmm. that masks work to protect the wearer and mm-hmm. the people around them from mm-hmm. catching and spreading airborne illness. Mm-hmm. We recommend the mask types N95, KN95 and KF94. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that these masks are well-fitting. Mm-hmm. You want to find one that is breathable for you and fits your face well, so that the air that you're breathing is actually coming through the mask.
Yeah.
And it protects you from airborne illness. It protects you from particulates in the air, like dust mm-hmm. and debris. It can also help filter out things like wildfire smoke and mm-hmm. pollen, even.
Absolutely. Beck, we have to jump to a commercial, but if people want to learn more, where can they go quickly?
We could go to our link tree. It's mm-hmm. linkt pr.ee/maskuppittsburgh. We have a lot of various resources that you can learn more about COVID, the importance of masking, and you can also request free masks and tests from us, and we will get them to you as soon as we can.
Thank you, Beck. I'm Natalie Bensavenga. You're listening to 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.